We're doing Mishlei, chapter Tetvav, 15. We'll start with Pasuk Tet, the ninth Pasuk, although I think we got up to Pasuk Yudalef, so we'll run through Pasuk Tet and Yud. To Avat Hashem Derech Rasha, the way of the Rasha, the evil person, even if he doesn't do it, his way is to Avat Hashem, is disgusting in the eyes of Hashem. Umradif Tzedakah, and a person who chases after Tzedakah, Yehav Hashem loves. This shows us that God looks at our ways, not only our actions. The way of the Rasha, God finds disgusting. Even if he doesn't always succeed in doing his evil acts, the fact that that's his way, that's disgusting in the eyes of Hashem. And a person who seeks Tzedakah, Meradif Tzedakah, he chases after Tzedakah, God loves him. Even if he doesn't always succeed in performing the Tzedakah, which way is he going? So we discussed earlier tonight that God looks at the actions, not only the intent. God says, well, are your actions positive or not? So here we see that God gives weight also to which way are you going? What are you seeking to do? And I think we discussed last time the concept of mradif tzedakah, chasing after tzedakah, that there are certain things that a person has to chase after. It's not enough just to perform them when they come to his doorstep. He has to seek them out. And tzedakah is one of them. You have to seek out who needs help and help them. So obviously there's a limit. You can't spend your life walking to bus stops to see who needs help getting onto the bus. But to a certain extent, the person is responsible to seek the tzedakah, to chase after it. Musar ra leozev orach. There are musar comes from the word gisurim, punishments, painings, which are bad. They are hurtful. They are ready and waiting for a person who is ozev orach. He leaves the right path, the path of Hashem. So netochachat yamut, person who hates rebuke, he ends up dying and he'll never know the right way. He can't even approach him. Person has to try and attain the level where he loves rebuke. Obviously that's a very difficult level to attain, but a person should at least not be at the state where he hates the rebuke. Pasuk Yudalef. Sheol v'avado neged Hashem. We'll translate that for now, that before Hashem is revealed, the Gehenim, the graves, the burial, everything is revealed before Hashem. God sees into the tombs. He knows what's going on there. Af kilibot bnei Adam. Certainly the hearts of mankind are revealed before Hashem. Now, the word Sheol, so it's sometimes translated as the grave, the tomb, place where a person is buried. But the Sefer Bet Elokim that was compiled by the Mabit, who was a contemporary of Rav Yosef Karo, they even wrote to one another. They had famous disagreements. One of them is pertaining to the Shemitah. So in his book, in the Bet Elokim, he discusses the different terms of the different terms that are used to refer to Gehenim. And he says that they refer to different levels in Gehenim, and one of the levels is Sheol. So the Pasuk describes it, so to speak, as the Gehenim and the burial plot. We don't see what's going 6 feet under. We don't know what's going on there, but that's all opposite Hashem. We have to understand that the Pasuk is speaking metaphorically, because the Rambam explains to us that God's knowledge is not like our knowledge. Our knowledge stems from our perception and our understanding. It is external. I see something, I know it's there, I could synthesize that information and I gain knowledge. God's knowledge is totally different. It's on a level where God knows because God is everything. It's not external. It's not that God perceived something and therefore he knew. Anytime that we see these terms, that God saw or that God went down, these are borrowed terms. We use them with regard to God, or the Torah uses them with regard to God, so that לסבר את האוזן מה שהיא יכולה לשמוע, so that the human ear will hear terms that the human ear could understand. So we use terms that we are familiar with, but they are borrowed terms. So here also, when we say that God knows what's going on in the grave, God knows what's going on in Gehenim, they are all opposite Hashem. It doesn't mean literally they're opposite Hashem. Means that God knows what's going on there, and certainly God knows what's going on in people's hearts. Now, this is important, because otherwise, what's the Kal Vachomer, what's the fortiori here? God knows what's going on in the grave. God knows what's going on in Gehenna. So certainly God knows what's going on in your heart. What's the certainly here? Why is that so? Why is that a Kal Vachomer? Now, the word af ordinarily means an even this on a secondary level. But the first explanation that we brought is how the Metsudas explains. But the word af, simply understood, means even this. And usually when we say even such and such, we mean on a lower level. Meaning the Gemara says, men have to hear Mikra Megillah. Women have to hear Mikra Megillah. They also have to hear the reading of the Megillah on Purim. She'af en ayu be'otanis. Even they were included in the miracle of Purim. So Tosfos brings one understanding is that they're on a lower level. A woman can hear a Megillah read by a man, but can a woman read the Megillah for herself? Different opinions, because they're not on the same level as men. Even they were included in the miracle, but on a lower level. Even they.
That's what the
af means over there in the terms of the Gemara. What does it mean over here? So we could say that it means the same thing. Even the hearts of men are revealed before Hashem. Why is that on a lower level? Because God does not interfere as to what our b'chira chofshit is. We still have the choice what we're going to do. What's going on in the grave? God knows. But what's going on in my heart? Well, I have control over that. So there's a certain element where God foregoes. God lets go of a certain amount of control of what's going on there. Lo yehav letzocheach lo. The joker doesn't like when people rebuke him. El chachamim lo yelech. And therefore he doesn't go to the wise men because he's scared they'll rebuke him. And that's the last thing he wants to hear. Smart person wants to hear when people rebuke him. King David said, says that when the mere'im, when the people who want to do me bad, when they surround me and they speak badly about me, tishmana oznai, then I perk up my ears to listen. I say, hey, if the person who hates me is going to say things about me, he's going to try to find that point where I'm wrong, where I'm missing something. You know that your enemy is always going to know where to hit you where it hurts. So King David said, that helps me. If I listen to them, tell me where I'm wrong, so then I'll be able to improve. So the mere'im, the people who want to do me bad, they want to harm me, like from the term ra, then tishmana oznai, I want to hear what they have to say. But a letz, the joker, he doesn't want to be rebuked, he doesn't want to go to the wise men. Lev sameach, a happy heart, yetiv panim, that gives a good countenance. Uvatzvat lev ruach necha'a. And because of a sad heart, a person's spirit is broken and he looks down upon himself. He has a low self-esteem. And this is very important. On the one end, it tells us that we have to be happy from within. And from within, we're going to have a happy face. And it also warns us that sadness, a sad heart, sadness from within, ultimately breaks a person's spirit. I've told the story of a person I know who his parents were getting divorced, and they brought him to Israel to learn in Kfar Aroeh, Rav Neria's yeshiva, and they gave him a one-way ticket. Rav Neria was a disciple of Rav Kook. He started the Bnei Akiva. He headed the Bnei Akiva. So he headed the Yeshivot Bnei Akiva. So this guy, I don't know if he was the founder of Bnei Akiva. He was the founder of Yeshivot Bnei Akiva. Bnei Akiva, I don't know if he found it. He headed it. So this guy comes to the yeshiva. His parents give him a one-way ticket. They send him to this yeshiva. And every Friday he used to go to the mikveh. And coincidentally, his times matched with Rav Neria's times. And they started having this like chavrusa. They'd walk together down the path. So the mikvah, Rav Neri would go tevel, and out of respect he wouldn't go in when Rav Neri was in, and then he'd go in and Rav Neri would wait for him. After he got dressed, for him to get dressed, then they'd walk back together and they'd talk. So one time Rav Neri is walking with him and he's upset. So Rav Neri asks him, "Why are you upset? Why are you sad?" So being a teenager, he said, "What answer is there to be sad? Where is I can't be upset? Who says I can't be sad?" So Rav Neri told him, he quoted this story to me, that Rav Neri told him, he said, it's not usur to be sad, but out of sadness, a person could end up doing the worst things in the Torah. Sadness will lead a person to transgressing the worst transgressions. Sadness in and of itself is not the prohibition, but it is the root of a person's transgressing everything. And this is very important. A person has to know that when he sees someone who's got a broken spirit, ruach nicha'a, it's stemming from a sad heart. So we have to help cure the heart. It's not enough to work on the self-esteem. We have to work on why is this person sad. And a person has to know about himself, that it's important to have the lev sameach and the yitiv panim, both. It's important to have a happy heart and to have a good countenance. It reflects to other people. Now, a person also has to know that it works the other way as well. That if a person is going to walk around with a smile, so then the external affects the internal. Pasuk Yudalet. Lev Navon, a wise heart, Yevakesh Dat, will seek out knowledge. This is important. Think a person who's wise, so what does he have to seek out knowledge for? No. If a person is wise, then he knows he doesn't know everything, and therefore he seeks knowledge. And the mouths of the fools, ufich silim, the mouths of the fools, yir'e ivelet. He will, yir'e over here comes from the term re'a, friend. They will befriend the ivelet, the things that are worthless, pointless. They don't seek out the valuable knowledge. And this is the sign of a wise person, that he seeks out knowledge. We think the sign of a wise person is that he has knowledge. It's interesting that I have a friend whose parents are both big medical doctors. So we were in high school together. I once asked him, what do they do during their free time? So he said they read medical journals and medical textbooks. So we were laughing in class, said, come on, they're the top professors. They have to read these journals. They write to these journals. So he said, yeah, they write to these journals, but they also have to read what everyone else writes. They have to be on top of what's going on. So they're always reading whenever they have free time. That's what they're doing. Other people pick up the comics. They pick up the medical journal to find out what advancements have been made. Smart person is always seeking out more knowledge. Kol yamei ani ra'im. All the days of the poor person are bad. This is to be understood firstly, simply. It's not fun to be poor. Even a Shabbos and Yom Tov is difficult for an ani. When a person is poor, things are difficult. Kol yemei ani ra'im. V'tov lev mishte tamid. And a person who feels good with what he has, so he's not poor. The end of the pasuk here defines what the beginning meant. We read it and we think it means, what's a poor person? A person who doesn't have money. So Shlomo HaMelech explains to us, no, v'tov lev, a person who's good at heart, he's happy with what he has. If he's got a good heart, he's happy with the things that God gave him, mishte tamid. Then throughout his life he feels like he's going to parties. He's happy with what he has. This is the one of the keys. Mishte is a party. Because in a party, the main part of the party used to be to drink. So they used to call a party a mishte. So Shlomo HaMelech is teaching us one of the keys to happiness in life. And this is reiterated in different ways throughout the book of Mishlei. The key is attitude. He is not well. It's true that if a person is poor and he can't afford a dentist, so it's painful. But the question is, how is he going to approach that? A wealthy person also has things that are painful. A wealthy person also has things to contend with. The wealth is not what's going to make life a breeze. It's not what's going to make life pleasurable. It's amazing. There's a person I know who's right now in a situation where the doctors basically have nothing they could offer them. And doctors don't give them that much longer to live. And you speak to these people, and they're happy. And they're not only happy, they're radiant with joy. And at first I thought it was a joke. I thought like they're faking it. But when you see it time and again, and day after day, and day after day, you start saying, hey, this is real. Shlomo HaMelech says in the end of Mishle, he says in Eish Eschayil, we read it every Shabbos. Eish Eschayil is the last chapter of Mishle. Eish Eschayil that we sing Friday night is the last chapter of Mishle. And one of the things that Shlomo HaMelech describes there, that woman of valor, Vatischak Liyom Acharon, she could laugh in the face of death in that last day. She knows it's her last day and she's still laughing. Why? Because self-contentment and being happy with life stems from a person knowing that he did his best. He's been doing as positive as he could. Why is it that we're not happy? It's because we're not happy with what we've accomplished. So we cover it up with externals. We think, if I'll have the car that everyone wishes they have, so then I'll be a successful person, I'll feel good with myself. If I have the wife that everyone envies, that she's the most beautiful, then I'll feel successful with myself. I'll be making the millions, I'll have them in the bank, I'll be successful. I'll be famous, I'll be successful. We always want to feel successful. And the truth is that we'll feel successful when we are really connecting with our Creator and we know we're doing what we should be as far as our Creator has commanded us. And Shlomo HaMelech here is telling us, when a person feels like he's poor, and a person could have millions and feel like he's poor, then all his days are bad. And the person who is good at heart, mishteh tamid, then life's a one big party. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav, Mai dichtiv kol yemei ani ra'im. Rabbi Zeira quoted Rav. What does this pasuk mean? This is a person who learned Gemara, and because he learned Gemara, he has a lot of questions. And if he has questions, so life is difficult. The Gemara understood, Rav understood that when we say the days are bad, it doesn't mean that they're bad in a negative way. It means they're bad because it's difficult. You're learning Gemara and you have questions. So a person thinks, I'm learning Gemara, why is it so tough? So Rav says, no, that's what the pasuk's speaking about. It's tough, it's difficult. You're learning and you're going to have questions. V'tov lev, mishteh tamid. And if a person only learns Mishnah, he doesn't learn Gemara, so you have this law and that law, you don't have that many questions. So, oh, that's a breeze. But you got to learn Gemara. Rav Amar Ipcha, Rav says the other way around. Says, if you learn only Mishnah, then you're a pauper. Then your days are really bad. Because you don't understand what you're learning. All you know is, oh, the Mishnah says you could have a sukkah up to 20 amma. Why? How do I measure these 20 amma? Does it include with the schach, without the schach? Do I have to have 20 amma of airspace or not? What does it mean? So then your days are bad. You don't know what you're talking about. All you know is the Mishnah. That Rav says, that's the poor person, his days are bad. Can't even, someone asks you halacha, you can't answer, you don't know, all you know is the Mishnah. But, person who knows Gemara, so then that's a person, tov lev, he's got a good heart, mishteh tamid, his days are rejoiceful.
And this is, they're quoting on this two words?
Yeah, on this pasuk, it's a Gemara and Baba Basra.
The mishteh tamid.
And kol yemei ani ra'im v'tov lev mishteh tamid. On this pasuk. On this pasuk. Rav Chanina said, this pasuk is referring to different people with different wives. Kol yemei ani ra'im, every day of a pauper is bad, that's a person who has a bad wife. He's poor. Oh, every day is bad. V'tov lev mishteh tamid. If you have a good wife, then life's a party. Kol yemei ani ra'im, Rabbi Yanai says another understanding. This is the person who's an istinis. If you're a particular person and everything, every little thing bothers you, it's a little too cold, a little too hot. So, life is difficult. Every day is bad. V'tov lev mishteh tamid. That's a person who's easily satiated. Anything you give him is good. So he's always happy. It's interesting that my grandmother just told me about different grandchildren, that this one, everything you give him, he's happy. He eats whatever you give him. You know, grandparents, they measure a kid by how much they eat. And it's interesting that the children that she told me that they're not picky eaters, anything you give them to eat, they eat. They're really happy-go-lucky kids. And the children that she told me, anything you give them, they're picky. Well, at this stage of their life, they're really not such happy kids. Rabbi Yochanan says, Ko yemei ani ra'im, that's a person who has compassion. And when he hears bad things happen, so it hurts him. So every day is bad because you'll always hear bad news. And if every time you hear about something that happened, you cry, so then you spend your life being sad. It's bad. V'tov lev mishteh tamid. And a person whose heart is always good, his life's a party, that's a person who has a tougher heart and he's always happy with what he has. And okay, bad things happen. So he has a better life to an extent. It's not to say that that's better. What's the correct balance? That's something that needs to be analyzed.
Right.
Okay, but on the other hand, the Gemara says that a person who cares too much, sometimes his life is worthless. You spend your life crying about everything that happens to other people, you can't really move forward in life either. Well, there is a balance.
Yeah, sure. I mean, to a certain point, if you're satisfied with what you have, then you're going to say, I don't have to move forward.
Oh, so let's see what the next pasuk has in store for us. Tov me'at b'yirat Hashem. It's better to have less, but to have it with God-fearingness, rather than having a huge storage house. You have a lot, but there's a lot of trouble there. There's you have people yelling, and there's thievery. Things aren't calm. And this is known. If a person makes his wealth out of thievery, so he's going to have wealth that's going to bring him a lot of trouble. And if a person doesn't have a lot, but at least everything he has comes from God-fearing toil, so that's better for him. Tov aruchat yarak ve'ava sham. Better to have a meal with just vegetables. You can't even afford bread. You certainly don't have meat, but there's love there. There's friendliness there. That's better, mishor avus, from having this big fat ox. You have great meat, venison, v'sinavo, and there's hatred there. That's you talk to cab drivers, you talk to people who they're not necessarily the most educated people in the world, and you ask them what life was like, and very often you hear the same line: life was so much better when I was growing up, and we didn't have all these amenities. We slept 4 kids in a bed, and we woke up, no one thought to tell the other one you have bad breath, because we all slept in the same bed together, 4 or 5 kids. Who thought of each kid having his own bed? But we all loved one another, and we had fun together, and we did everything together. That was life. My kids, one kid doesn't know the other. Each one has to have his own key to the house. They come in, each one has to have his own room. Each one has to have his own bed. They don't know what it means to share things. That's not life. You speak to people today, you don't have to be very educated to see where life is leading us. And Shlomo Amel summed it up. He said, better have a meal of vegetables. You don't have anything to eat. You have a little cucumber. But there's love there. That's much better than having the fanciest meal and there's hatred there. I think we'll pause here and continue, God willing, next week.